Hey Siri, play Social Geek Radio.
Okay, Social Geek Radio podcast coming up.
Hello, geeks, and welcome to Social Geek Radio. I'm Jack Munson, your host and social media consigliere. Today, we've got the return of our friend Rob Biesenbach to share storytelling tips, now in a virtual setting. Today's episode is brought to you by Social Joey, One Up Web, and Answer Connect. Imagine your customers and potential customers reaching a live person every time they call and never getting voicemail. Answer Connect is making that happen with a team of professional, upbeat, friendly customer service experts ready to impress your callers and deliver your messages around the clock. Answer Connect works with franchise systems, enterprise brands, and small businesses who need phones answered 24/7 in any time zone, a virtual receptionist, inbound sales calls handled, and appointments scheduled. Call Answer Connect at 800-584-0234. That's 800-584-0234, or visit answerconnect.com/franchise. Rob Biesenbach is a world-class keynote speaker, workshop leader, consultant, and author who wants to put an end to, and I love this, an end to death by PowerPoint. His latest book is titled Unleash the Power of Storytelling, Win Hearts, Change Minds, and Get Results. Rob, welcome back to Social Geek Radio.
Thank you so much, Jack. I appreciate the opportunity.
So in case some of our listeners didn't hear you when you were on, when was that? About 25 years ago, I think, was the last time you were on. It feels like that now.
Probably on a landline phone, yeah.
I think you were calling in from the flip phone. It was, you know,
yes.
Give us a little bit of your background and how did you get to what you're doing now?
Yeah, it's been an interesting journey. Spent my almost entire adult career in corporate communications and PR. But in the early 2000s, I started taking classes at Second City here in Chicago, and it changed my career. It changed my life. I loved performing, but what I noticed was the more I was on stage, the more I was on camera, the more I realized that everything I was learning in acting can be directly applied to my business clients. Mm-hmm. It's all about connecting with an audience, telling your story, expressing yourself creatively. So when that sort of lightning bolt hit me, I realized this is what I do. I use lessons from performance to help people perform better in their work. And I do that through books, workshops, keynotes, consulting, and all the rest. So that is my platform.
And your platform has changed pretty drastically, I would say, in the past 5 or 6 months, right?
Certainly. Yep. The whole world is going virtual. So, yep.
But you've been doing virtual workshops and other types of presentations for a while, correct?
Yeah. You know, I've been doing them for about a decade, which I thought was a long amount of time. But somebody else said I've been doing it for 20 years. And a colleague of mine and I were like, 20 years ago, was there an internet? I mean, it wasn't broadband 20 years ago. Yeah, how did we do that?
We were on Netscape doing some stand-up, I think, 20
AOL,
years ago.
AOL, yeah. So I don't know, but I've been doing it, yeah, for about 10 years, but mostly, you know, your average, you know, webinar or 1 hour presentation. And now, of course, we're doing keynotes, we're doing workshops. It's crazy.
And everybody's moving to all of these virtual meetings, conferences, events, conventions, whatever. How are you helping people get better at that? Because I got to tell you, I've seen a few train wrecks out there.
Yeah. Well, I would say a couple of things about that is, in the initial stages of this pandemic, people have been pretty forgiving of each other because we're all in this together and struggling. But I think we're past the point now where people are kind of like, really? Come on. You can't elevate your screen. Can you please find a lamp in your house? You know, so people are getting a little less forgiving. And the other thing is, this is not going away. I have a slide where I show that, you know, big companies are letting, are now going to let employees work from home for life, at least through their career.
for their shelf life at that company.
Yeah. Three out of four employees want to work at home. Events and travel are being canceled through the first half of 2021. So it really behooves everyone, you know, like we talked about, this is not going away anytime soon.
And who are you typically coaching up? Who really needs the most help? Is it marketing people? Is it salespeople who are presenting to prospects and customers? Who really needs the most help right now?
Gosh, I think it's everybody. I mean, I generally think communications, marketing, PR people have a bit of a leg up when it comes to this kind of thing from non-professionals. But I've seen lots of people not doing it well. I mean, I've been speaking about in-person presentations for years now, and I speak at the big industry conferences, and you know, I observe a lot. Let's just say we all need help. And I would say, especially these days when people are pushing their CEOs or CFOs, CMOs out talking to, you know, major media or employee town halls, these people really have to get their act together, because that's a real high, it's not just an everyday team meeting with five of your, you know, people on your staff. This is big time.
Yeah. And oh, by the way, someone's recording it at all times. So, so if you look really green, anybody could see that and probably will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it's all about, to do this right, partly it's about your reputation. I mean, it's about how you show up. You know, are you struggling? Does that undermine people's confidence in you? But really it's hard enough to get people's attention online. So if they're distracted by all these problems, you're not going to get their attention. So you're not going to get their understanding, and you're not going to get their buy-in, which is ultimately the goal of any presentation. So it can really undermine your effectiveness in myriad ways.
And that attention is probably a bigger problem than it ever was before, because if you're doing a presentation for some corporate group, or maybe it's a group of your own employees or something, I think no one realizes that this is probably the 10th Zoom call that some of these people have seen this week, and it's only Tuesday, right?
Like
you are part of the muddy water of online video right now. So let's kind of dive into some of the things that people can do to improve their presentation skills, whether it's getting more attention or just being better on camera. Where do you kind of start with anyone?
I think there are three fundamentals. One, you have to get your technology in shape. You have to upgrade your technology. You have to tune your content to a virtual audience, and you have to deliver it in a way that's more engaging and energetic than ever. So those are the three fundamentals.
Okay, let's dive in a little there. Tell me about the technology side first.
That's the baseline. And it's interesting, I poll people on these three questions at the beginning of my courses, and that always ranks the lowest, the tech stuff. I have found, though, that it is a huge problem. So there are some fundamentals you have to attend to, because again, it's all about keeping people's attention. Number one, you gotta have strong internet. And I think we've all been dismayed to find that our home Wi-Fi, while maybe fine for streaming email, cannot handle basic Zoom meetings.
Right, right. Especially if you have a 13-year-old daughter downstairs on YouTube right
yes.
now. Right. Not that I'd know anything about that.
Exactly. So, you know, even before the pandemic, I have a 50-foot Ethernet cable plugged directly into my router. And I had to learn how to activate Ethernet on my computer, and I had to get an adapter for it because, you know, I've never done that before.
Right.
It's not since a long, you know, many years. So that's the beginning. You have to have that strong signal because everything else stems from that.
What about like the actual camera and microphones and that kind of stuff? I see some people on calls and I'm thinking like, is that your Dell computer from 98? What is that? And
yeah,
like that's a pretty simple thing to fix.
It is. In fact, I just got a brand new webcam, the one I've had my eye on for a long time. It's just that everything is out of stock right now. I do recommend people do not rely on built-in webcams because they're not adequate. Even though I've got a fairly modern MacBook Pro, but it's not the same. So $50 up to $200, it is definitely worthwhile to get yourself a decent webcam. If you can't do that, I mean, the picture is so important. Bring every light in your home, every possible light in and shine it on your face. Or invest in some decent lighting. And don't neglect the sound.
Yeah.
People think, oh, I look good, but sound is, as we know, I mean, sound is everything. So I've got, it's a Blue Snowball microphone. It costs $50, but you know, on Amazon, you can find a lapel microphone for $20. Do something more than just your standard computer microphone. Even I've heard some pretty good sound out of AirPods or even earbuds. Just experiment around.
Yeah.
Record yourself on Zoom.
And I'll throw a mention in there too. I'm a big fan of the Blue microphones. I recommend the Blue Yeti as well. And that's only about $100.
Yeah, that's a little higher end, but definitely, yeah.
Yeah, and I've used one of those for years, especially as we do the podcast from remote locations, you know, traveling around the country, because it's real durable. You can throw it in a suitcase and it's hard to break. So yeah, good advice there on the Blue mics.
Yeah. So that, you know, picture, sound, connection. And those are the, I have a number of other minor tips, like, you know, don't make us look up your nose. don't stand in front of a window. But though, if you take care of those three things, you'll be 90% of the way there.
Okay. And now before we get to content and delivery, is the junk and clutter in your house in the background, is that part of tech? Or is that part of delivery?
I'd say that's part of tech. Yeah.
Okay, let's clean that up, folks, right?
Yeah, you know, do some basic set dressing. If your house or office is a mess, you know, find a decent angle. Find a blank wall if you have to. But if there's a lot of stuff in the background, it's going to be too, people are going to be reading the books on your shelf and trying to figure out what's what, or wanting to come to your house and clean up for you.
Okay, perfect. All right, let's move on to content. Tell me about fine-tuning your content for this whole different type of audience now.
Yeah, well, of course, we've all got Zoom fatigue. We're more distracted than ever, especially if we're cloaked in anonymity. If we're not on camera, the audience members, we could, you know, I've got like 70 browser tabs open right now. People could be shopping and doing emails. So you have to account for that. And there's two ways to make sure. You got to grab people's attention from the start and you got to sustain it. And grabbing it means don't spend the first 5 or 10 minutes of your program. Get down to business quickly. All right.
Okay.
Don't be waiting for everybody. Don't be doing a lot of housekeeping. Just get right into it as soon as possible.
Yeah. Pet peeve of mine is when I join a call, like with the International Franchise Association or some other groups that I'm a member of, and they spend the first 5 minutes waiting for a few more people to arrive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wait a minute, what?
No, why did I do that?
I'm here.
You're punishing the punctual. Yeah,
well, of course. Of course. Well, I guess it's like regular life, but yeah, I love that idea of it's 12 o'clock or whatever time. Jump in, let's get started. So love that one.
And the other thing is to keep the attention going. There's some science behind this, that people's minds drift after 10 minutes. Mm. So switch things up at least every 10 minutes, maybe even sooner than that. But you can take a break for Q&A, take a poll, show a video, tell a story, give an example, do an exercise. Just don't keep doing the same thing for longer than 10 minutes.
I like the idea of taking a poll or getting some sort of feedback because it sort of opens their minds that, oh, this is interactive. This isn't a guy on a recorded YouTube video. Mm-hmm. What kinds of things do you typically ask them to get feedback on, whether it's a poll or something, or does that not really matter? It's just sort of the act of getting them to lean in.
Yeah, I think just keeping them on their toes. I do all kinds of polls. I ask them about the specific content, and I might tailor it as I go based on their interests. Mm-hmm. And I might, you know, poll. I did a thing with a workshop the other day where I held contests. I asked them questions about information I'd presented, or had them, you know, guess, you know, a particular point I was going to make. And, you know, we gave away books to people who answered correctly. So it's just a way of just keeping people engaged.
Love that idea. Okay. Any more on content, or should we move on to delivery?
Yeah, well, you should focus your content. Your content should probably be more brief than in real life, and your slides, you know, death by PowerPoint is even more fatal online. When we're sitting there staring at one slide for 8 minutes and all it is a bunch of black words on white background, you gotta have modern visuals that are compelling. And you gotta have a number of them. You can't just show one slide for like 5 minutes. You gotta keep it moving.
Anytime I see a PowerPoint with bullet points and words on it, the first thing that comes into my head is, oh, this could have been an email. This literally could have emailed this to
right.
me, and I could have, you know, I would read it and we'd be off by now. So is it, give me some sort of rules on using text on slides. Is it just like never do it, or only a certain number of words per slide? Do you have any kind of hard and fast rules on not boring people with text?
Yeah, there are a lot of rules out there. I mean, my slides will have between 0 and 6 words on them generally.
Okay.
My thinking is, number one, have one single idea per slide. Mm-hmm. That's going to cut down the number of words.
Mm-hmm.
Marry that with one compelling image. You do that, you're like 80 to 90% of the way there. But my clients live in the real world. I live in the real world. And sometimes not every slide or every presentation is going to look like this modern style that people are more and more expecting. So if you do need words, do bullets. Bullets should be phrases, not verbatim sentences, not full sentences. And you should build them. So again, people aren't, if you have 5 bullets in a slide, well, that's 5 ideas. And people are reading ahead or reading behind.
Yeah.
And the message is getting muddled.
Got it. Oh, love that idea.
So brief, bullets, builds.
Got it. Perfect. All right, let's hit delivery. What are you coaching people up as far as how they deliver and things they need to do differently now?
Well, we already touched on, you know, interaction was actually part of delivery, but it's also a part of content. But mm-hmm. interaction is key. I think the number one thing is, if people are a fan of the movie Spinal Tap, and they should be.
Yes.
Everything on 11.
Got it.
Everything you're doing in real life, do it bigger, pretty much bigger or more of it virtually. And that it starts with energy. You got to speak a little louder. You got to make the pace a little more deliberate. And dead air is, you all know about dead air in the audio or radio business. It can be fatal. People are suddenly going to their controls and, you know, logging out and logging back in.
Did we lose him?
Yeah. Yes, right. You see, you can't, those dramatic pauses that work so well in person, they can work to an extent, but not to an unreasonable extent. So you gotta be mentally focused, so your words are flowing. You gotta be emotionally into it, so you're passionate or you have your convictions. And you got to physically, you know, you got to lean in. You got to be, you know, on the edge of your seat and a little louder, more expressive than you would normally be.
And I think that's going back to some of the idea of sustaining their attention. If you're a little bit more in their face, they're at least going to pay more attention than if you are droning on and, you know, being kind of soft and quiet about it. And especially if you're delivering, you know, sales numbers or financial information, oh boy, you lost me in the first 6 minutes.
Yeah. If it's this, you know, if it's kind of this like low voice like this, and it's a monotone where you're not really doing any kind of inflection, I mean, that's deadly. I'm not going to listen. If you're not excited, how can I get excited?
Yeah. Yeah. I won't mention the company, but I've been listening to some workshops on video in the advertising industry. And all I could think of is, I'm going to wait and listen to these late at night when I'm having trouble falling asleep. I think I just paid for something to help my insomnia more than something to teach me about advertising.
Right, right.
Anything else about delivery that maybe people are just really getting wrong that, you know, through no fault of their own. I don't mean to keep making fun of people who've been doing some of these videos lately, because we've all just been thrown into this through no fault of our own. But is there anything that you typically see people doing wrong from a delivery standpoint that you want to stop them right away and say, no, stop doing this or move over here or something like that?
At least when it comes to virtual, I think energy is the big one. But I would also say momentum. I have this analogy. You want to be a train, not a car. If you're on a road trip, you might take a scenic byway. You might stop at a rest stop or have a picnic or go antiquing. But to train, at least in Chicago, let's take the Metro trains generally as an example. These are the big commuter trains, not the subway. They pretty much run on a schedule. They arrive, they stop for a brief time, they move ahead, and they generally stay on the tracks.
Generally.
Yeah, generally. The rhetorical equivalent of that is you don't want all this this hesitation, the stops, the starts, the backtracking, and you don't want the tangents. You gotta like keep it moving forward, because again, people are gonna get lost if you don't stay on track. And accomplishing that comes from preparation. It comes from mental focus. It's about knowing your stuff.
I love that analogy, because especially as people are working from home and watching you on a screen from home, the temptation to, I'm going to check Instagram. I'm going to check LinkedIn. I have to go put some laundry in the dryer. The temptation of all of that is so high right now that if you don't keep them moving forward, they're going to look for something else to keep their mind occupied. So that's the train is a great analogy. I love that one, Rob.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, depending on how the train's running in your area, that analogy may hold up.
Okay, Rob, if our listeners have questions for you, they want to learn a little bit more about your program, about your books, about what you're doing and who you're presenting for, where can we send these folks?
Well, the links will be alongside the recording of the podcast. Mm-hmm. But my name, if you can spell my name, you can find me. But that first one's the challenge. BIESENBACH. I'm the only Rob Biesenbach outside of a cemetery in Texas. You can find me on my website. I've got lots of videos on YouTube. I've got... I'm on LinkedIn, Twitter, all the rest. And, you know, I have a crash course. It's called Virtual Presentation Crash Course. It's on my website. It's on YouTube. And along with that, there's a 35-point presentation or 35-point virtual presentation checklist that you can download. So they can find that both on my website and on YouTube.
Excellent. And like you said, we'll have links to all of those places in the show notes for today's show. Rob, thanks so much for being here, and I look forward to catching up with you again real soon.
It's my pleasure. I'll see you again in another decade. Thanks, Jack.
All right, let's make it 6 years this time, you know.
I'll mark it.
All right. There we go. Thanks so much, Rob. Talk to you soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Before we go, a quick note. A resource I'm recommending lately for all marketers, especially those working with franchise brands, is oneupweb.com/franchise. It's got lots of free franchise marketing resources, like an SEO audit template, a guide for Google local listings for franchise businesses, and much more. My favorite is OneUpWeb's new Franchise Marketing Playbook. It's a guide for franchisors to support their marketing efforts at all levels of a system. It's got specific tips for working with franchisees, and it includes current data as well as post-COVID insights. OneUpWeb is an enterprise digital marketing agency and AOR for many great franchises with over 20 years of digital marketing experience. Learn more at oneupweb.com/franchise. And thanks for listening to Social Geek Radio. We're here to help you get yourself ready for the comeback of a lifetime. Copyright 2020, Social Geek Enterprises, Inc.